We open our Bibles this morning in the book of Joshua in the chapter number 7. Seventh chapter of the book of Joshua. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word, commencing to read at verse number 1. And then down some verses in this passage of God's truth. Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth, or to the earth upon his face, before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by the households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning, and brought Israel from by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Harites. And he brought the family of the Harites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And he took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over it a great heap of stones until this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor until this day. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, We thank Thee for Thy precious Word. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt minister to our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt take it today. Help us, our God, to come carefully. Help us to come prayerfully. Help us, our God, to be like Moses as he stood at the burning bush. And Thou didst say, take off Thy shoes from off Thy feet, for the place whereon Thou standest is holy ground. Help us, our God, to realize that this is a holy place. Because Thou, the Lord of hosts, who art holy, O God, Thou art here. And we pray that by Thy Spirit that Thou wilt minister to our needs. And that Thou wilt speak to all of our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' precious and lovely name. And for His sake. Amen. I want us to continue our study this morning in the Word of God. And this morning we're going to look at two valleys that are mentioned in the Word of God here. We look first of all in the Valley of Elah. We looked at the Valley of Baraka. We looked at the Valley of Baca. We looked at the Valley of Eshcol. I want us to open our Bibles this morning, first of all in 2 Samuel and the chapter 5. And I want to speak first of all upon another valley. It is the Valley of Rephaim. If you look there in 2 Samuel chapter 5, in verse 18 it says, the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the Valley of Rephaim. And down in verse 22, and the Philistines came yet again and spread themselves in the Valley of Rephaim. I want you to notice that on each occasion when we came to these valleys, that God not only is the God of the valleys, but God has something special to say. Because each and every one of these valleys has got a particular reference. And I believe that there is a special message that God would speak to us, each and every one here, to our hearts as we look at them and experience them even in our own lives. Now this Valley of Rephaim was a valley that was situated southwest of the city of Jerusalem. Rephaim simply means giants. It means giants. And in reality, what is behind that word giants and the Valley of Rephaim was this, that the people who lived there was a part of the race of the Canaanites who were themselves of great stature and that they were fierce in their nature. And you will find that the children of Israel, they were not able to settle peacefully in that part of the land until first of all they had faced and they had subdued the giants that were in the land. But what I want you to notice is this, that whenever you look at the giants of Rephaim, you will find that to subdue these giants, it was not simply a battle and then it was over. It was not simply a battle or two and then it was over. But you will find that when it comes to the giants in the Valley of Rephaim, you'll find that indeed that the battles continued over and over again. They lasted for a number of years. Now, of course, this valley is called, in reality, what does it mean? It means the Valley of Conflict. It is the Valley of Conflict. And so, therefore, I want you to notice here that there was a conflict that was going on here which commenced in the day of Joshua, but it did not finish in the days of Joshua, because you will find that the battle in Rephaim was a battle and a conflict that went on, because when you come even to David the king, you will find that the battle continues in the days of David the king, because these giants had to be faced, and these giants in the battle and in the Valley of Conflict had to be continually subdued. Now it is true that the giants in the land brought terror to the people. It was not something that people welcomed. It was not something they would be desirous of. And friends, so it is in our lives. There's not one of us this morning that desire conflict. There's none of us desire or want to see that we have to face giants and we have to subdue them. We've got to overcome them. But there is a truth that we face here is this, that in the Christian life, friend, and as you and I walk the Christian pathway to glory, in our lives there is that constant battle, that constant conflict that is going on between those of the giants that we have to face and that we have to subdue, that we have to overcome, and the children of Israel or the people of God that have to overcome them. Now, of course, we notice how that David faced them here. If you come to chapter 5 in the 2 Samuel in verse number 18 or verse 17, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now, what did David do, and how did David handle the conflict that he was faced? Look at verse 19. And David inquired of the Lord. And there's the secret, my friend. He took the battle to God, and he took it to God in prayer. How wise David was that he realized that the battle, the conflict he was in, was not something of his own making, and certainly would not be one of his own breaking, but it would have to be of the Lord. And therefore it says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines, and wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? You see, he was not relying on his own strength. He was not relying on his own wisdom. He was not relying on his own ingenuity or to face this battle. But he said, God, he said, shall I go up? And he says, God, wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? He wanted to go with the assurance that the Lord was going with him, that this battle was indeed of God. And God said to David, he said, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Now you go down the chapter, go to verse 22, you'll find something different. It says, and the Philistines came yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, you'll notice he did it again. He realized that once again, here's another battle. He's facing the same giants. He's facing the same battle. He's facing the same conflict. And so therefore it says, he inquired of the Lord and said, and the Lord said unto him, if you go to verse 23, it says, and when David inquired of the Lord, God said, thou shalt not go up. Thou shalt not go up. And God says, listen, you're going to face this enemy, but he says, you're going to do it a different way. And you're going to have to do it my way. Because if you go up, God says, listen, that's not the way I'm designing it this time. God says, I want you to fetch a compass behind them. In other words, he was to be wise. And friend, let me tell you, in fighting the battle for God, in fighting the devil and all the powers of hell, we need the wisdom of God. We need the power of God, but we need God's direction and we need God's guidance. Is it not true that so often, whenever we face the giants of conflict and the giants of unbelief and doubts and fears and all those that come against them, we think we've got to just fight them the same way. And friend, let me tell you, often we get ourselves into trouble. Often we come back defeated and discouraged because we haven't got the secret of success. And it's this. He inquired of the Lord. He sought the face of God. He asked God for his guidance. Listen, he didn't turn to his men and say, tell us what you to do. He didn't rely on his captains and his mighty soldiers and say, tell us, how are we going to face these giants in the valley of conflict? They would say, yes, go up. The Lord be with you. God says, listen, you're not to go up this time. God says, I want you to go behind them. I want you to compass them. And God says, listen, he says, I want you to come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And then he said, I want you to listen. And he said, listen, when you hear the sound of the goings and the top of the mulberry trees, God says you're to stir yourself, and then the Lord of hosts shall go out before thee and smite the hosts of the Philistines. And he did, and God gave him the victory. Thank God we find that there is victory when we inquire of God, when we seek the face of God, when we know the wisdom of God, and we get the help of God. Now what is this saying to you and me? I believe here we have a picture of the conflict that's in the life of the child of God. I believe, friends, listen, when we come to God's word, we will find that within the child of God, there are two natures. There is the old nature. And I tell you this, my friend, the old nature, we'd love to kill him off and say, God, would you just wipe him out, annihilate him, put him away, let him never trouble me again. I'll tell you, that's not going to happen. Because the old nature, somebody said, the old nature should be dead in the child of God. Well, he says if he is, he's got a lively corpse. Because he troubles the child of God. And there's a battle that goes on. There's a conflict that goes on in the life of the child of God as he presses on toward heaven and home. There is a new nature. Thank God there's the nature that God gives us when we come by faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and experience a new birth and are born again of the Spirit of God. But my friend, I'll tell you, there's victory. There's victory in Jesus. And you and I, just because we face this battle, you and I shouldn't lie down in discouragement and say there's no hope, we can't win. Glory to God, there is a blessed hope. There is the assurance of victory. We will win because we're not standing in our own strength. We're not going in our own wisdom. We're going in the wisdom and in the power of Christ. And David said, he said, God, shall I go up another God? God, you tell me what to do. God, you give me the direction, but he said, God, I want you to go with me because you're going to have to do the deliverance and you're going to have to give me the victory. I'll tell you this, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord today. He is our victory. He is the power of the child of God. And when God goes up in the strength and in the power of Christ, the Bible says we're not only conquerors, but what does the Word of God say? That we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we have a tremendous assurance today that as you're traveling through life, child of God, and you're facing another week, whatever the devil throws at you, and remember this, the devil will try to impede your path as you're trying to go for God. The devil will try to fight you every inch of the road, every step of the way. My, the old devil will try to stop you from going on with God. But I'll tell you, there's victory here. How can we cope? How can we succeed? Let me just show you the battle that goes on. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, the Bible tells us here. In Romans chapter 7, in verse number 18, this is what it says. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, there's such a battle going on. Is there overcoming? Is there victory? Look at verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. Yes, there is a battle that goes on in the child of God. And if you're truly a Christian today, you'll say, preacher, I've experienced that in my own life. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, it says in verse 17 these words, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And so there is this battle that's going on. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Somebody said to me this morning, preacher, tell me, where's the secret of victory? How can I be sure that I can overcome, or how can I cope? How can I succeed whenever the devil comes in like a flood, and the devil comes with his evil insinuations and his doubts and his fears, and he tries to drive me down and put me into despair when the devil comes and tells me I'm not saved and that I'm not a child of God and God doesn't want to know me and God would not want to have anything to do with me? How can I cope with that, and how can I overcome, and how can I succeed? The familiar chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Brethren and sisters, there's a lot of things against us. You remember this, we wrestle against them. Because these powers are coming against us, the powers of hell, the powers of the devil, the powers of evil, the power of the flesh, and the lust thereof, and the pride of life. These come against us. And we have to stand against them. We have to resist them in the name of Jesus Christ. But how can we do it? How can we cope in such a battle? How can we succeed? How can we get victory? Verse 13, wherefore? Wherefore, in the light of all of the powers that are against us, take on to you the whole armor of God. Thank God, my friend, God doesn't leave you as his child to fight this battle. God has already provided for you all the cover you need. God has provided all the armament and all the armory that you need to be able to stand in the evil day and having done all to keep standing. Take on you the whole armor of God. He gives you the whole armor. He doesn't give you partial armor. Glory to God, my friend. He covers you. He covers you. You're covered completely. You're covered in the blood. You're covered in the blood. You're empowered by the blessed Holy Spirit. But God has a full armor for you today that you don't need to lie down in defeat. That you and I, as God's children, can stand in the battle, in the valley of conflict, down there in Rephaim. With all the powers that come against us, it says, take a whole armor of God. What will that do? Listen, that ye may be able to withstand. That ye may be able. Listen, ye may be able. Thank God, he can give you the ability to stand in the evil day and having done all to keep standing. Stand therefore. Stand therefore having your loins girt about the truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Thank God there's victory. There is an armament today. Child of God, don't leave God's house and say, I'm facing conflict this week, and I don't know where to turn, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know how I'm going to come out of it. Brethren and sisters, listen, that ye may be able to withstand, because you've on the whole armor of God. I remember some years ago I was over in Israel. I remember a very godly man standing with me there just outside one of the hotels in Israel, the King David Hotel. And we were talking about the battle and the conflict that the child of God faces. And he said this to me. He said, you know, Mr. McRae, every morning I go to my room and I pray. And I open the Bible and I turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And I say, God, I don't know what I'm facing today. And I don't know what battle I'll have to confront today. But God, you have armament for me and you have got armor for me. And he said this, and piece by piece, he says, I put on the whole armor of God. And he says, I just go to God's word and say, God, I want you to give me the gird me about with truth that my loins might be covered. And he says, and God, I'm putting it on now. I'm putting on truth. And said, God, I'm going to take, you know, the old devil will try to get in my heart. And boy, the old devil will try to injure me there. But God, you have provided for me the breastplate. And he says, I say, God, I'm putting on the breastplate now. And he says, I just put the breastplate over my heart. And just piece by piece, I take God at his word, friend. And I just put all the armament that God has for me. And friend, I'm covered for the battle. Wherefore take unto you? He said, you know, I'm just taking God at his word. He says, take unto you. And he says, that's what I do every morning. I just take unto me the whole armor of God. Oh, brethren and sisters in Jesus Christ this morning, I want to tell you this. There is victory. the valley of conflict. But there's encouragement in the valley of conflict. Let me show you. That's not the last reading of Rephaim. Turn with me, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. And when you come to 1 Chronicles and the 11th chapter, you'll find something that happened in that valley. And go with me to verse number 15. Verse 15. Because it's good to get the whole story, isn't it? So you get comfort and you get joy in the midst of the storm. In 1 Chronicles, chapter 11, verse 15. Now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam. And the hosts of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate." And the three brake through the host of the Philistines, drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was at the gate, and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord and said, "My God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it." Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest. Let me paint the picture very quickly. One day in the heat of the battle, one day in the midst of a conflict, David had a longing. He was there at the cave of Adullam, and we find that these three captains, they come to David. And David, in the midst of the battle, he made a sigh. There was a longing in his heart, and you know what he thought about? He thought about home. He thought of the days when he was a young fella, a young lad. And he remembered the days he was looking after his father's flocks. And he remembers whenever he was a boy there, and his mind went back to the days he tended the father's flocks in the fields around Bethlehem. And he remembered there was a well there. And there was a fresh, cold water in that well. And many times as a lad, he used to draw from it. When he'd sit under the parching sun. And you know, as he thought about home and he thought about his childhood, and he thought about there amongst the sheep, and his mind went to the well, and he longed. A longing came over. And he said, "You know, I would love that I'd get one more drink of that well." He was in the heat of the battle for him. But there was a problem. Because you see, where that well was, it was under the control of the Philistines. The enemy had taken control. And so therefore, when he made that sigh, and he made known a cry in his heart, those three men, those three mighty men, heard the sigh, just a simple sigh that David made. I don't believe he made it as a protest. I don't believe that he was thinking out aloud. And his mind went back, and he thought of the days of childhood, and he thought about the days away from the battle whenever he was just sitting by the well. The three men knew that God's servant needed encouragement. And those three captains decided they would do something for God's child. And that God's child who needed that encouragement, that they would go and they would risk their lives. And they would go to where the well was. And even though the enemy had got control of that area, they would fight their way through until they would come to the well, because they loved their master. And they were willing to risk their lives, friend, just to be able to remove the parched and dryness of their master in the midst of the battle. It would bring them joy just to get a drink of the water of the well. Those three men went to the well. And they fought their way through, and they came back and they brought the water of the well. It wasn't an easy task, but they were willing to do it. And friend, they brought that water and they handed it to God's child, their master. And he looked at them. And as he looked at those men, friend, he saw the marks. And he saw the wounds that they had suffered to get it. And then he saw something else. He saw the love and the devotion of those men to him. That they were willing to risk their lives because they loved their king. And David took that water. And he said in verse 19, and he said, my God forbid it me that I should do this thing, that I should drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy. For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he wouldn't drink it. But he poured it out, friend. That wasn't mocking them. But he poured it out as an oblation before the Lord. And I believe with all my heart that day that God did something in David's heart there in the Valley of Rephaim, where the enemy was. And they were all spread against him. I believe that God's child took courage again. Because he saw the love and the devotion of those men that were willing to stand with him, even to the jeopardy of their lives. And you know what God did? God blessed them. And they went into the battle and they confronted the giants and they confronted the enemy and the Philistines there in the valley of conflict, and God gave them the victory. But God's child needed encouragement. There's not one of us today but need encouragement in the battle. The Word of God says that we're to bear one another's burdens. I preached in the Bible study a few weeks ago in the prayer meeting, that there are burdens that we are to share. And there's burdens that we're to carry. And there's burdens we've got to shed. Or we have burdens to share and to shoulder and to shed. But these brethren were willing to jeopardize their lives. Turn with me to the New Testament. And then God gives a witness. In Acts chapter 15. And in Acts chapter 15 and verse 25 it says these words. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't despair this morning. You say we've got the valley. We're facing the valley of conflict. And there's so many situations here that we have to confront. But praise God, there's victory. Thank God, there's encouragement in the valley. You take the Word of God today. Take the whole armor of God this morning. And be able not only to stand, but to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked. Thank God there's victory in Jesus. We're coming next Lord's Day. I know time's away this morning. To another valley, the valley of Achor. And then if God permits, to the valley of Jezreel. See what God has got to say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thou knowest our hearts this morning, for they're open before Thee. And we thank Thee for a word that Thou hast given us today, a word of encouragement. We thank Thee for the love that Thou dost place in our hearts for the work of God. We thank Thee, O God, for that love and devotion that You place in our hearts for the people of God. We thank Thee for the armament that Thou hast provided for us, and the armor that Thou hast told us that we're to take unto ourselves, that we may be able to stand an evil day. And, O God, as we think of all these things, we think of all that Thou hast provided. We thank the Lord for the friends in the midst of the battle of the conflicts that face us. Thank you for David's three faithful friends. And they jeopardized their lives. But they did it for the love of God. And the love of Christ constraineth us this morning. Help us to be like Paul and Barnabas, men that even hazard their own lives for the cause and for the sake of Christ. For those this morning that are not saved, Heavenly Father, realize today that there are those that are traveling to eternity, and when we think of the accidents and the tragedies last evening, realize our God, both young and old, have been suddenly taken away and out into eternity. And Father, it could be this congregation. It could be this man or woman listening to the preacher or the preacher himself. But, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that they might be ready. That they might trust the Lord and seek Him while He may be found and call upon Him while He's near. That this day might be the day of their salvation. We pray for Jesus' sake and His glory. Amen.